You can get that down if you want it. Title of the second message today is Stay Hungry, But Don't Scratch Your Ears. Got it? Stay hungry, but don't scratch your ears. There are two pictures in scriptures today that I want us to take a look at. It's kind of a word picture painted of these two different ways of being, these two different people, if you will. There's a picture of a hungry man, somebody who's hungry and thirsty. And there's another picture of a man with itching ears, described as having itching ears. Does that sound familiar? You guys have heard that? I remember hearing that growing up and thinking, what is that all about? He has itching ears. We're going to look at that today. One has a hunger, and one has an itch. What's the difference between those two men? Let's first look at the hungry man. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 5 and verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6. We're going to look at the hungry man first. I can't help, every time I say the phrase the hungry man, I think of those little TV dinners. That's not what I'm talking about. So definitely don't think about that. Okay, Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are those, this is Jesus talking, by the way, you can tell because it's red. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So in the middle of the Beatitudes here, he's telling us some ways to be, some ways that people are blessed when they do these things, and one of the things is to hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. What does it mean, brethren, to hunger and to thirst? Why would those particular words be used? What is hunger? A hunger is something that you have to feed, right? And a thirst is something you have to quench. It needs to be quenched. So I ask you, do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Turn over to Revelation 3:17, if you want, with me. Revelation 3:17. Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Or are we fat and sassy like the Laodiceans? Revelation 3:17, we're going to most of you probably know this verse, but Revelation 3:17, speaking of the Laodiceans, because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It is such a tendency of humans, isn't it, that when we become rich, when we have plenty of food, when we become wealthy, we start to think we have it all. We start to think we don't need anything. How about from a biblical standpoint? How about from a theological standpoint? How about from that view? Do we feel like we already have it all? We've already acquired it all? Or do we still have a hunger and a thirst for these words in this book? To have a hunger it's more than just an intellectual need, right? It means you have to take something and put it in you that you don't have. So we can't feel like we already have it all. But it's more than just an intellectual need. It's more of a desire. It's more of a want. You know, it's not just this thing where we realize, well, I know technically I need food to survive, and it is about that time of the day, so I should probably eat. Theoretically, I should probably eat, or I will perish. No, we don't think of it that way. We think it's more of a feeling. It's more of, oh, I feel like I want some food, right? We want it, and we need it. Turn with me, if you will, over to 1 Peter in verse 2. This hungry man, we're going to paint a picture of this one first. The man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. We're already in Revelation, so we're pretty close. Just a book or two back. 1 Peter 2. Verse 2. We're supposed to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And here we see a picture of someone who longs for the milk of the word. The milk always gets a bad rap, but look here at 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. So the milk gets, we hear milk usually in kind of a condescending way. Oh, you still drink the milk? That's for babies. But we should long for it. Later we're told to make sure our diet is balanced, you know, eat some meat too, not only the milk. It doesn't mean to throw the milk out. So here's this picture of someone who's hungering and thirsting for righteousness. He longs for the milk of the word. Turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. Hebrews, right after the T section there, comes Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews 5, and we'll start in verse 12. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Start in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Here's where milk gets the bad rap. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in what? In the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But, verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who are by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. But notice what it said. He's unskilled in what, in verse 13? In the word of righteousness. Notice here that a man who is hungering and thirsting for righteousness, it's connected to hungering and thirsting for this word. Being skilled in the word. And again, knowledge isn't enough. It's not enough just to know intellectually that we need the scripture, that we need God's word. We need to hunger and thirst for it. Have you thought about what that really means? Hunger is a different thing. It's something you feel. Turn with me to Isaiah 63, actually Psalm 63. I think it's Psalm 63. Here's a man who had some hunger. All kinds of different hunger. Isaiah 63. We're talking here about the metaphorical hunger that we should have toward God's word, toward his way, toward his scripture, toward a relationship with him. Psalm 63. Did I say something funny? Did I send everybody to Isaiah? Psalm, it's Psalm. I'm going to go back and forth. Okay, that's because I wrote my notes wrong, that's why. So, Psalm 63 and verse 1, I'm pretty sure. Let's see here. Yeah. Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. Psalm of David here. This is David talking. My soul thirsts for you, he says. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I would say that could describe this world we live in at some times. I'm sure it described where he was at the moment. And all kinds of people between David and us have felt that same way. But do we feel that thirst for God? That yearning? While we're in Psalms, if you're in Isaiah, you can go to Psalms. Psalm 42. Just making sure you're paying attention, that's all. Psalm 42 and verse 2. The same thing. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So this person that we're painting a picture of is someone who's hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for God's way, for his word. Let's turn over now just a book to Proverbs 2 and verse 1. We're going to stay there for a minute. Proverbs 2. And verse 1. As we paint the picture of this hungry man, Proverbs 2 and verse 1, we see some wisdom passed down from father to son. Notice he says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Notice we see here someone who will get wisdom and understanding if they do what? If they incline their ear, if they apply their heart, if they lift up their voice and cry out for it. And to do that, you have to recognize that you don't have it, right? To seek it as for silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. And never stop searching. Would you ever stop if you know there's a treasure there? How are you going to search for that treasure with everything you have? You're not just going to, it's not like my six-year-old when I say, hey, go find your shoes. And they say, I don't know where they are. I can't find them. No, you're going to actually get down on your knees, look under some things, flip over the couch. You're going to look around. That's how you search for hidden treasures, like you're looking for the Roku remote. You know what I'm talking about? And then you will understand. This man is hungry. He's looking. He's got a desire. There's something going on inside there. This is not just a surface level stuff. Let's turn over now to, actually, I'm just going to quote three scriptures right quick. While we paint the picture of the hungry man, you can turn there if you want, but 1 Thessalonians 5:21. He's going to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. He's also going to search the scriptures like the Bereans to find out whether or not what he's learning is true. Acts 17:11. He's going to search the scriptures. He's also going to surround himself with a multitude of counselors. Proverbs 11, verse 4. This is the man who's doing it right. Or woman. Surround themselves with a multitude of counselors. That's Proverbs 11, 4. But now let's talk about the itchy man. The man with the ears that are itching. What is this? Where did this come from? 2 Timothy 4. Turn with me over there. 2 Timothy 4. Back to the T section of your Bible. That's what I call it. There's all kinds of T's in there. Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians. 2 Timothy, verse 4. And verse 3. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. They shall be turned to fables. Stop there for now. So that's where the itchy ear reference comes from. If you think about an itch, what is an itch? What is that? If you had to describe an itch, what does it mean to have an itch? It's something it's pretty hard to satisfy, isn't it? If you get a bug bite or some athlete's foot, maybe some poison ivy, how long do you have to scratch that before the itch goes away? Well, it's kind of a trick question. It doesn't really go away from scratching it, does it? This man has an itch. And obviously this is metaphorical. It's talking about his ears having an itch. Like he just can't get it scratched, right? 2 Timothy 3:7, just a little bit earlier, 2 Timothy 3:7 says, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. This itchy guy, he's also seeking a multitude of counselors. But it says it a different way, doesn't it? It says he heaps up to himself teachers. But why does he do it? He does it because of his own lusts. And he ends up turning to fables. So what does it mean? What does it mean to have itchy ears? They're never satisfied. It's like he's always thinking of something better. There's always something better out there, something easier. Notice it says that he's being led by his lusts. That's the key. 2 Timothy 4, verse 3. It says he does not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap up to themselves teachers. Turn with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. It's very interesting the connection here between an itch and lust. Ephesians 4 and verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not learned so in Christ. If indeed you have heard him, and you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So in verse 22, it's interesting, lusts are referred to as the deceitful lusts. That's what sin is, brethren. It's deceitful. Especially lust, it's longing for something that isn't yours. It's this discontentment with what God has provided. Lust is a lying longing. It's a thing that whispers to you, that lies to you, that tells you, if only you had this, your life would be better. You'd be complete. You'd have no problems. You deserve it. If you just scratch, it'll feel better. Lust lies just like an itch. It makes promises it can't deliver. When I was a kid, I had athlete's feet. I lived in North Carolina. I know that was a smooth transition. It's very humid over there, and if you're going to have athlete's feet, you're going to have it there. And so I moved out here, and everything kind of doesn't bother me anymore, but out there, it was pretty bad. And anybody who has had athlete's feet, I won't ask for a show of hands, but it is a pretty incredible experience. There's this intense itch that is so deep in your bones that you can't explain how deep it is. And you can scratch those feet. You can take your shoes off and just scrape them on the corner of the concrete step as long as you want. The itch does not stop. Feels kind of good as your feet just get torn to shreds. And it's such an amazing analogy for sin. It lies to you. My feet are saying, scratch me, you're going to love it. And then 5 minutes later, blood, torn skin, that's how it is. That's how it is with skin, with sin. It lies to you. And all you end up doing is causing damage while you're in this itch-induced scratching delusion session, you know? You don't actually solve any problems or get any closer to getting rid of the actual problem. You just make more problems. That's what happens when you have the itching ears, too. Scratching doesn't make them go away. It only causes damage and desensitization. Matthew 13 and verse 15. Matthew 13 and verse 15. Don't be like the guy with itching ears, or athlete's feet for that matter. Matthew 13, 15. Matthew 13, 15, for the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. We read in 2 Timothy 4, 3 just a minute ago, but the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, it says in one translation. With itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. It's not necessarily the accumulation of the teachers that's the issue. It's why they're being accumulated. It's their heart that we just read about in Matthew 13. So if they understand with their heart in return, God says, I would heal them. But that's not why they're accumulating teachers. We heard about in the first message how easy it is to go online, the abundance of knowledge that's right here in your pocket. How many teachers are in your pocket right now? You can go to YouTube. You can find somebody to say anything you want. You can find someone to justify any sin that you could think of. And they can probably try to use the Bible to do it, right? There's someone in your pocket that will make you feel very good about the place you're currently at. Like you don't need to grow. Like you don't need to learn. So what's the difference between someone with itching ears and someone with a hunger for the truth? It's interesting to me that there are so many similarities. And the purpose of this message today and looking at these two things is not so that we can look at someone else and say, I think he has itching ears and I think he is genuine. No, it's more to look at ourselves and say, and question our own motives and say, you know, why do I want this? Why do I want a second or third or fourth opinion on this? Am I looking to scratch my ears or am I looking for the truth? Am I being led by my desires or am I being led by God's Spirit, which will lead us into truth? The obvious difference is the itchy ear man, he heaps up those teachers just to scratch his own ears. That's it. He's looking on YouTube for the guy that justifies his own position, his own place. So lust and sin and the heart are really the issue here, not the number of teachers. The hungry man, he seeks a multitude of counselors in order to check him when he's getting off track. The difference is right here. The difference is the intentions, the humility, the attitude. Both of these men, if you meet them, they may say some of the same things. They may seem to be constantly in a mode of learning and growing, looking for that second and third opinion. But one may be searching for truth and righteousness, and one may be searching for justification. This can be true of really any sin that so easily ensnares us. When it comes to anger, let's say you're angry all the time. Guarantee you can find a YouTube video that says it's healthy to be angry all the time. Right? Let's say whatever it is, greed, you name it, you can find a teacher that's going to tickle your ears. It's going to make you feel like you are right on track. And pretty soon it's going to be an AI teacher. It won't even be somebody real. But as long as we scratch that itch, brethren, if we do that, if we heap up teachers for that reason, as long as we scratch that itch, it will never really feel resolved. Scratching the itch doesn't make it go away, you see. Matthew 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Now there's a hunger, there's a desire, there's a want that we have a promise that it will be satisfied. We will be filled. If you read Scripture and heap up counselors with the purpose of bolstering everything you already believe to be true, led by your own desire to be right, you're doing it wrong. We're scratching an itch that will never stop itching. But if we read Scripture and gather a multitude of counselors with the purpose of discovering the truth, even when it's hard to hear, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it cuts us, and we do that led by God's Spirit, then we're told that we will be filled, we will be satisfied. John 4, let's turn to John 4, book of John, chapter 4. And verse 13 and 14. John 4, 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Remember the hungry man and the itchy man. They both might have counselors. They both have people around them telling them things. Proverbs 11, verse 14 says, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Again, finding counselors, finding teachers isn't necessarily the issue, is it? It's why are we finding them? Why are we looking for them? What are we going looking for on that device in our pocket that's 900 billion times more powerful than the first computer? Crazy statistics. What are we looking for? In Acts 17, verse 32, Paul was talking to people about the resurrection. Acts 17, 32, when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." They wanted to hear him again. They said, "Come back, tell us more." They had a longing. They had a hunger. They wanted to hear more of that word preached. Did they have itching ears? No. They had a hunger. They wanted to hear it. After all, we're told faith comes by hearing. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the issue we read about with the itchy ear man is that he heaps up teachers after his own lusts. So how can we do it, brethren? How can we hunger and thirst for God's word in a world of internet access, in a world of endless YouTube gurus? How can we avoid having the itchy ear? Let's go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Anybody's ears itching just listening to this? No, me neither. Of course not. Okay, Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25. "Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." How hard is that? I was talking with some friends just this past week. It's almost on every relationship that we could possibly have. There comes a hard time, a hard place, where there's the moment for a crucial conversation, right? This moment where you need to speak truth with your brothers, with your sister, with your neighbor. And it's a difficult thing to do. It's exactly what we're called to do as Christians. The hard thing. Verse 26, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil." That's a difficult thing. We're called to do these difficult things. In verse 28, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands." We're told that we can move on from these places that we were, these sins that so easily ensnare us. We can. It's possible. In verse 29, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." And in verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. So in verse 31, it's kind of a recap of what we just read. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." Whereas the world, brethren, would encourage us literally to do the opposite. When we have anger or bitterness or wrath or whatever inside of us, it's so easy to hear messages from a whole heap of teachers all around us that say, "Oh, you should feel that way. Trust your heart. You deserve to have those feelings." But as long as we keep our eyes where they're supposed to be, as long as we keep the hunger that we're supposed to have, and don't start looking to scratch those ears with the teachers of the world, we'll be all right. So again, that hungry man, he longs for the milk of the word. He cries out for discernment. He lifts up his voice for understanding. He seeks for wisdom. He tests all things. He searches the scriptures. He surrounds himself with a multitude of counselors. And that man with itching ears, well, he surrounds himself too, but for other reasons. He's led by a different thing. He's led by his own lusts, and he doesn't endure sound doctrine. He turns away his ears from the truth. They get dull from all the scratching. So I encourage you, brethren, to avoid that itch, but keep that hunger, to long for the milk, to hunger and thirst for this word of righteousness, to lift up your voice for understanding, to seek that wisdom like you would seek for that hidden treasure, and to surround yourself with people who will hold you accountable, who will tell you when you're wrong, or at least question you when they think you might be wrong. And when something doesn't feel right in here, when there's trouble in your heart, in your life, when you don't understand what's happening, do what David did. Go to God. Pour it out to God. Don't let your lusts in that moment motivate you to seek teachers who will tell you that you're doing okay. Expose yourself to God, and He will forgive you. So we have to keep that healthy hunger for God's word, for God's way, for His truth, and we can't be like that man with itching ears, only seeking to scratch himself. That can't be us. Let's turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 in verse 3 through 5. David here talking about some very public things that we know about, some sin. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave me. You forgave the guilt of my sin. That's the Father that we have, brethren. A loving Father. Someone who wants us to turn to Him. We read earlier in Matthew, if they would hear, if they would open their ears and hear, if they would look with their eyes, if they would turn their heart to me. That's what He wants for us. And let's turn to one more to close, in Revelation 22. Revelation 22 and verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Brethren, I would encourage you to avoid the itch, but keep that hunger.